My chains are gone. I've been set free. Wow, how many people can really say that today? Are y'all ready to go to bed? Because I mean, it's late. I don't know about y'all, but the chickens have gone to roost and it's late and we're not going to spend very much time here tonight. We're going to get out of here as quickly as possible. We have to have a chance to be able to get used to this new time frame. All right, so tonight we're going to be in the book of Daniel. We want to start there in chapter 3. Actually, I want to start in chapter 1 of Daniel because we want to look, first of all, in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. We want to get the most powerful verse in Daniel 1, and it's in verse 8. So let's look there. The most powerful verse in Daniel 1, verse 8. And Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Now it goes on to say that it was with a portion of the king's food. But I'm wanting you to know that Daniel had purposed in his heart he would not defile himself, whether it was with the food or with anything else. And there are so many ways that we can defile ourselves. God save us from sin. Eating that food to Daniel would have been a sin. And he was determined that he would not defile himself with sin. Having pride. I don't know that it says here that Daniel had purposed in his heart that he would not be filled with pride. But if pride was what would defile himself, he was determined not to defile himself. Oh God, be with us and walk with us so that we can see a man who purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And Lord, I am a man who has had a problem with defiling myself. And I want you to know that if you'll walk with me and if you'll help me, I will purpose in my heart. Now, this is the amazing thing about this. This young man was in his teen years whenever he purposed this. He had been mutilated by the Babylonians. He did not hold any great grudge or anger against them. He did not hold any great grudge or anger against God. Why did you allow this to happen to me? I don't understand. I want you to know whenever I was a young man, there were things that happened that I held against God. I guess I wasn't purposing in my heart not to defile myself, was I? Well, there are things that we need to give up tonight or say, Lord, if I don't know what it is that I might need to give up, but we need to be aware of the fact there are things that get in the way. And Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Now then, let's go on to the next chapter, chapter 2. And in chapter 2, we're going to find what I think is the most powerful verse in this chapter. And it is found in verse 30. Daniel would not make anything out of himself. He just wanted to be a servant of the Most High God. He wanted to belong to the Most High God. But as for me, and he's gone to Nebuchadnezzar and he's brought him the secret, a dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar was going to have all the wise men killed unless they could tell him the dream. It was gone from him, but he was very disturbed about that dream. And Daniel said, now then, please, O king, give me a short period of time. The wise men asked for a long period of time. They were hoping that the king would forget about it. But he said, give me a short period of time and let me see if my God will give me the hidden thing, the dream and the interpretation thereof. And so in verse 30 he says, but as for me, this secret, this hidden thing is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living. Wow. Some of us think that I cannot be a child of God that He can use because I'm not a wise person or because I don't have this gift or I don't have that gift. But here God is saying it's not according to the gift, it's not according to the wisdom. But there is a reason why God will reveal some things. But for those people's sakes that are going to die, has the interpretation been made known to the king, and that you might know the thoughts of your heart. So if evil is being planned against those around us, we need to cry out to God. If we're planning evil, we need to cry out to God. But we need to know that God has determined that evil should not happen, and that if evil does happen, that He has a plan for it. and that we should know the thoughts of our heart. Now, then I want you to know something. Nebuchadnezzar is only going to begin to know the thoughts of his heart as he understands the dream. And if y'all weren't here last week or the week before, I suggest that you go back and read Daniel 2 and Daniel 1 so that you can know the things that have happened up till now. And so Daniel has told him the dream, and Daniel says you saw an image, and this image there was a head of gold. And after that you saw shoulders and arms of silver, and after that you saw a abdomen and thighs of bronze, and then after that you saw legs of iron. And he was saying, these are the four great kingdoms of this world. Kingdoms shall rise, kingdoms shall fall, but these are the four great kingdoms of this world upon which all prophecy hinges. And you are the first. You are the head of gold. Well, Nebuchadnezzar, he is a very proud man. And he begins to think more highly of himself than he should. And we're in that chapter tonight, chapter 3, is where we're going to see some things here. I apologize for moving as quickly as I am, but I want to go somewhere and rest. It's been a long day. Some of y'all are agreeing. So let's just read this little child's story of a king who did not know what to do, of a king who's going to end up doing what he should not. We have leaders that are coming on the scene. I've loved listening to their debates and them telling us that they know what to do. They don't know what to do. I mean, they've all imagined something. Most of us in this room, we're thinking about what is going to happen in our lives, and we don't know what we're doing. We need God. And I thank God that y'all are here tonight, because in your saying that and your being here, then you are preparing yourself and putting yourself in the place where God can do something wonderful. 30 verses, let's see what God says tonight. And Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, the head of gold. Remember, the head of gold, and there was this statue that he saw. And he made an image of gold whose height was 70 cubits, 90 feet high, and the breadth of it was 6 cubits, or 9 feet wide. And he set it up on the plain of Dura. So there's this large, flat area, large enough to be an airport, around where Babylon, the city of Babylon, is. And in this large, flat area, this 9-story statue, this 9-story idol, is standing there in the middle of that flat area. And it's 9 feet wide. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, all the rulers of the provinces, to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. So we see here all the PTBs of Babylon. And what are the PTBs? How many of you know what PTB stands for? Powers that be. And this year, we're going to be, in a couple of days, we're going to be voting for powers that be. And we're going to be saying, God, take control. Remember that old song? Not old. Well, to some of you, it's an old song. Let me look around here. How old are y'all in here? Oh, it's not that old. And it was by Carrie Underwood. It was entitled, Jesus, Take the Wheel. I'm going to vote so Jesus can take the wheel. How about you? So anyway, we have here that Nebuchadnezzar has done this. He's called all the PTBs, the powers that be. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image of Nebuchadnezzar the king, which he had set up, and they stood before the image of Nebuchadnezzar that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And then a herald, a man with a loud voice. I guess I could have gotten a job as a herald. Cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at the time that you hear the sound of the horn, let's see, we want to hear what these the horn, the pipe, the lyre. Let me read it off of here because this is going to make more sense, because I'm reading something that has little quotations marks and said, we've decided you need to be able to have better words than this. The cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music. You shall fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. Now I want you to know something. Some of y'all would say, I would never do that. We already worship so many things in America. I'm ashamed to say that's true. I want to be true to the one true God. I want to be a child of the one true King. But here he said, you're going to fall down and you're going to worship that. Verse 6, and whoever falleth not down and worships, shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Ah, the carrot at the end of the stick. Worship. Remember, I don't know if y'all ever seen you've seen kids where they've got a goat or a dog, and the dog is pulling a wagon, or the goat is pulling a wagon, and they get that thing to go by hanging the carrot out over the end of the stick. Well, I don't know that the fiery furnace is something that I really want to run towards, but it's something I would be willing to run from. And here these people are saying that if you do not, then you will be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time when all the people heard the sound of, and we're going to say blank, 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 and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations and languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Now, I want you to know there's going to come a day where everybody in the world is required to worship a false god whenever the Antichrist has set up his kingdom. And we see that the demons that are in control of this time have pushed Nebuchadnezzar, filling him with pride over the fact that he's the golden head. They've pushed him to build up a statue, an idol to himself, and he's having everybody to fall down and to worship him. And again, I'm telling you, at the end of this world, at the end of this age, before the 1,000-year reign of Jesus, there will come a time when people will be required to fall down and worship the false gods or the false thing that has been set up in that time. There have been time after time through history have men tried to set up a one world religion. And here Nebuchadnezzar is trying to do that. Verse 8, and wherefore at the time certain Chaldeans came near, whenever this had happened, that they were supposed to fall down and worship the golden image, and they spoke to and accused the Jews. Now you all are going to say, well, they accused Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. No, they accused all the Jews. Do you see that this is not something that is new in the world, that the Jews are always the scapegoats? They have been accused since the time of Nebuchadnezzar, and they have been accused before that. The Jews are the scapegoats of the world because every fallen angel knows that if they can destroy the Jews, they can claim that God is not God. Guess what? God will not allow the Jews to be destroyed. Anybody want to say, thank God? I mean, really, thank God. And so they came and they accused the Jews, and they spoke to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Oh, king, we're so interested in you. We love you. Now, I want to ask you something. Who really loves you, baby? Y'all remember that? Was his name Telesivalis? And he had that sucker in his mouth. And he would say, who loves you, baby? Well, I want you to know, I know who loves me. Really loves me. And then Nebuchadnezzar has had the Most High God, the God of heaven, reveal his dream. Reveal him the interpretation. And he doesn't yet know who really loves him. You better be careful. I remember a woman who used to be a member of this church. She had 4 or 5 children. One of her daughters she said that there was a thing that always bothered when this one daughter would come to her and say, Mama, I love you. She would go, oh no, what does she want now? Well, we better know who loves us and who doesn't love us. And Nebuchadnezzar does not yet know who loves him. They say, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, has made a decree that every man shall hear the sound of the blank, 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 and all kinds of music, and shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever falls not down and worships, that he should be cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain, now then they accuse all of the Jews, but they're going to say, there's the reason why we can accuse all of them, because there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of Babylon, the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now I want you to know, I've done a little study, and I know what the names Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego mean. They are Aramaic names, they're not Hebrew names. They're the names that were given to these three young men who had been mutilated, who had been brought out of their families. They would never see their families again. Many of their families were already totally killed, totally annihilated. They were taken into Babylon. There they determined that for their God's sake, they would live the best they possibly could. Remember how Daniel had said, I will not defile. He purposed in his heart, I will not defile myself. And these three went along with him. They wanted to serve God. Now Shadrach, his original name was Hananiah, but Shadrach means commanded by Aku. And Aku is a god. And if you're commanded by somebody, I remember whenever I was in the Navy, when anybody commanded me to do something, you know, I always kind of felt like a slave. Okay, and that's what it was supposed to make Hananiah feel like, that he was a slave. That he was a slave. And Meshach, his name is a little bit sweeter. A guest of the king is what Meshach means. A guest of the king. Well, then when he gets to thinking about what kind of guest am I? Oh, I've been mutilated. I was taken in chains. Walking, I still have the marks on my wrists and on my ankles. Walking all the way naked from Jerusalem to Babylon. And I'm a guest of the king. Oh, what does that mean? He's a slave. All right, and then we come to Abednego. And Abednego means a servant of Nebo. Oh, a slave. So whenever they're talking about these Jews, they're talking about the slaves. They're talking about the slave Shadrach, the slave Meshach, and the slave Abednego. And you're going to say, okay, what's the big deal about the slave? Because every one of us, whether we know it or not, is a slave to something. Maybe it's a slave to pride. Maybe it's a slave to shame. Maybe it's a slave to some sin. Maybe it's a slave to this world system where we, and y'all are, I don't know whether you're going to enjoy this picture or not, but April the 15th, we all prove we're slaves to the government. And so we're all slaves to something. And so we want to see here that they're being called out by their slave's name. But I want you to know something, that Hananiah, who became Shadrach, his name meant who Yahweh has favored. Now then, I don't know if he felt like Yahweh had favored him whenever he sent him there and caused him to be mutilated. But you know something? I believe that Hananiah, because in a few seconds, these men are not, they are not going to bow down. They're going to stand up. And when they stand up, they're proving, I am not a slave. And the Scriptures tell us that we should stand. Having done all, stand. Let me say that again. Having done all, stand. I'm not a slave. Now then, let's think about this for a few seconds. Hananiah, his name means who Yahweh has favored. Do you know something? He believed he was God's gift. Now then, y'all have heard me say this before. Whenever I was a kid growing up, we used to use this thing. We were trying to put somebody down. They must believe they're God's gift. Well, the truth of the matter is, if we're willing, that's exactly why God put us in this world, to be God's gift. And Hananiah, his name means who God has favored, or who God has given as a gift. Mishael, who became Meshach, his name means, who is what God is? Is there anybody that's like God? Now then, we're going to find out Nebuchadnezzar is trying to be God. He wants to be like God. And here he's going to stand up, and Hananiah is going to stand up, and he's going to say, Nebuchadnezzar, you don't know it, but God wants to favor you because I'm here. And Mishael, who is Meshach, is going to stand up, and he says, Nebuchadnezzar, you don't know what it is. You don't know it. You can't be like God, but if you'll let God be over you, you'll be so much more than you ever thought possible. And Abednego, his Hebrew name was Azariah, and it is his Hebrew name Azariah means Yahweh has helped us. And that brings me to the scripture that's in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse 5, where it says, and he has said, I will never, never leave you, and I will never, never, never forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Now, the days are coming when Nebuchadnezzar is going to want to say, the Lord is my helper. And he has sent these three young men to stand up for their God so that God can prove himself to be the one who wants to favor Nebuchadnezzar, although he doesn't deserve it, that God can prove that he wants to be the one that Nebuchadnezzar can't be like him, but he can be blessed by him, and so that God can prove that Yahweh wants to help Nebuchadnezzar. Now then, let's read the rest of the story, and you keep those thoughts in mind. What is God's plan for your life? You were sent for a special purpose. And no preacher can tell you exactly all of what it is, but the Spirit of God can make you aware of the fact, I'm not a slave to anybody. All right, let's follow up. So there are certain Jews that have you set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they don't know they're slaves. These men, O king, have not regarded you. They serve not your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage, fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they brought these men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said unto them, is it true, O my slaves, Shadrach, slave, Meshach, slave, and Abednego, slave, that you do not serve my gods, nor you will bow down and worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you be ready that at the time that you hear the sound of all the different instruments and all kinds of music, to fall down and worship the image which I have made, that's good. But if you will not worship, you shall be cast that same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. The same hour. And who is that God? It's the same God that, O king, who told you what your dream was when nobody else could. Who is that God? It's the same God, O king, who gave you the interpretation of that dream, O king, when nobody else could. Do you see that Nebuchadnezzar doesn't yet have a good relationship with God? And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered. They said, we may look like we're slaves, but we serve someone else. Let's hear what they say. They answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this. We're not careless, but we're not worried about how the answer is going to work out, because we know who we belong to. Let me tell you something. If they didn't know they were going to rise again, they could not have given this answer. And you must know that you are going to rise again. Strike me down and I rise up so much more than you ever thought you were destroying. And they said, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand. Slaves, you think we're slaves? Our God will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve thy gods. They couldn't. They'd already been commanded by God. You shall have no images. You shall have no other God before you. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods. They couldn't do this thing. That's why whenever the Chaldeans came, they accused all the Jews. Because they said if there were other Jews here, they wouldn't do it either. Well, maybe some of them would. Sometimes it's always easier to, what is it, if you get along, go along? Go along to get along? I'm not sure how those things work. But some of them might have thought that. But here are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. No, they knew. They knew if we will not serve your gods nor worship the golden image which you have set up. I believe that's the most important verses that are found in chapter 3. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, against his slaves. Therefore he spoke and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was generally heated, and he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and in their hosen and in their turbans and in their hats and in their other garments and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace was exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished. He was astounded. And he rose up in haste and spoke and said to his counselors, "Did we not just cast in 3 men bound in the midst of the fire?" And they answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." There's more to life that's going on here, king, than you understand. There's more to life going on here that these 3 Hebrew children who have such amazing names, who Yahweh has favored, who is what God is, who Yahweh has helped. You need to know these young men a little bit better. Did we not cast in 3 men bound in the midst? And they answered, "True, O king." And he answered and said, "Lo, I see 4 men loose." I don't see any slaves anymore. Who is in there in the midst of them? It is Jesus. When Jesus is in the midst, I want you to know something. There ain't no reason for slavery anymore. Somebody may think they have bound me, branded me, told everything about me, put me inside of a little box and say that's all there is. But when Jesus comes along, the box better watch out. It can't hold me. They can't hold me. And he answered and said, "Lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the 4th is like the Son of God." I'm a little bit jealous of old Nebuchadnezzar. I want to see Jesus. I want to look at him face to face. So the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. Verse 26, then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace. How close do you think he came? Not as close as the mighty men had come. They were dead, laying right there out in front of the king's feet. But he comes as close as he can get, as close as he can stand. I'm wondering, everybody back in those days wore beards. I watched on the internet the other night. There was a fella who was doing some kind of chemistry experiment in his chemistry class. I like those science things. I'm a nerd. And he was doing a chemistry experiment, and he had a thing that was causing little popping pieces of fire to flame out and everything like that. And he was a science teacher, nerdy type person, and he had a beard. And he didn't realize for quite a while that his beard was on fire. And I'm thinking, how close does the king come? Is it on fire? Can I come any closer than this? But he's afraid to go very close. I'm going to tell you, there's going to come a day whenever he's going to embrace this God. His life's going to be changed. We need to believe that God has plans for everybody around us. If he had plans for old King Nebuchadnezzar, could he not have plans for our children and grandchildren? Could he not have plans for our neighbors? Could he not have plans for the people who are going to become the rulers of America? We need to believe that that's going to happen. And so the Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and he spoke. And I don't think if he at one time had ever known that it was Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, I think he's got a different feeling about them now when he calls them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because he knows that they're nobody's slaves. And he calls out to them and he goes, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God. Oh, you serve somebody, but when you serve Him, all other bonds break off. You servants of the Most High God, come forth, come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth from the midst of the fire, and the princes and the governors and the captains and the king's counselors being gathered around saw these men upon whose body the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of the fire had passed upon them. How many of y'all have ever smelled burnt hair? You talk about stink. Yeah, sometimes after I've been out and I've grilled a little while and I've stood downwind from that meat, I've got a pretty good stink that's going on me too. And there was no stink that was on them at all. Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent His angel and delivered His slaves, His servants, who trusted in Him and has changed the king's word. Changed the king's word. Changed the king's word. It's been changed. He's changed the king's word. And we want to ask God to cause us to be people that He can use to change the king's word. And He sent His angel and delivered His servants who trusted in Him and has changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve, slave, or worship any god except their own. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language who speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. And their houses should be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. We live in the midst of a nation who is desperate for deliverance. In fact, in this room tonight, more people than you would possibly think are needing deliverance. Deliverance from the evil ideas of this world system. Deliverance from the oppression of this world system, deliverance from the way my heart thinks about them, much less the way the King Nebuchadnezzar's heart thinks about them. There are people in this room that are in desperate need of deliverance, and every one of us have somebody we need to go to and be able to tell them about the God who wants to deliver them. After this sort, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego in the province of Babylon. How's that possible? Because God had changed the king's word. He's knowing God a little bit more. The world's getting ready to change. Because there's some slaves who are willing to say, you might call me that, but you don't know who I really am. Because I belong to the one who's taken away my slavery to sin. I belong to the one who has come to make me more. I'm no longer a slave to these certain circumstances. My God wants to change those and He wants to change me. And they believe that God wanted to do a marvelous work in the midst of them. Let's all stand. I told you it'd be shorter. I just think maybe y'all need to run home and go to bed real quick. Paul and Silas in that prison, when the earth began to shake, and those bonds wanted to stay on them, but they began to fall off. Father, I want to thank You for being able to say, fall off of me. I'm not a slave to anybody but my God. And I know that He has plans, not only for me, for my family, for my church, for my community, for my state, and for my nation, but He has plans for every person I meet. Anybody want to be free? Then let's stand up as men and give ourselves to Almighty God. Heavenly Father, we come to You and we thank You for this evening and for Your Word. Make it alive in us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.